You would want to think that if a child or a teen is struggling with a mental health issue, that youngster would get the professional help he or she needs. But a study from the University of Michigan finds that is not what is happening in this country. Researchers crunched numbers and they figured out how many young people in the U.S. have a mental health disorder and how many are treated or not. The study's lead author is Dan Whitney. He's a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at the University of Michigan. Dan, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much.
So your study has made headlines here and actually abroad as well, starting with your finding that about 1 in 7 children in this country has at least one mental health issue. What's the age range you studied?
6 to 17 years of age.
And what kind of issues were you studying? How did you figure out this, come to this realization?
Well, we wanted to look at the prevalence of mental health disorders on a national and state level. So we chose 3 more common mental health disorders that are treatable and modifiable. So that's how we came to those.
And what were those?
Depression, anxiety problems, and ADHD.
Okay, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who feel this in their lives. They've experienced this in their families. And do you feel that more kids today have these kinds of disorders than in previous generations?
You know, this report did not answer that question. This study was a cross-sectional or a snapshot in time. But other studies have shown an increasing prevalence or an increasing trend of these mental health disorders over recent decades. And that's across all age groups, adults, youth, as well as children.
Which leads us to wonder why that is. Are we just more aware of it and we know what to call it? Or is it technology? I mean, what's a feeling as far as what is driving this increase?
Well, I think there are legitimate reasons. The social context of our communities nowadays, it's more isolating. There's more validation from social media. And then the question is, are we too sensitive? Are we overdiagnosing? And if you talk to mental health professionals in the clinical setting, these professionals still say that there's underdiagnosis of these conditions.
And your study finds about half of young people with mental health disorders are not being treated. How did you figure that out?
We just looked at the survey, which is administered by the Health Research and Services Administration, Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and they asked a lot of really great questions for these parents and respondents. And one of the questions was, has your child received treatment from a mental health professional in the past year?
Did that surprise you that some half are not getting treated?
You know, I think some people are going to be surprised and others are not. So our data and our findings are consistent with previous reports over recent decades from adults, youth, and children. So I think for those individuals, this is not surprising. This is just an up-to-date figure. But for people that are not thinking about mental health disorders and, you know, it reaching children, I think these numbers are very surprising and quite alarming.
And why is this? Why are so many not getting assistance? What are the barriers?
There are many factors to consider from a systems-level perspective, individual, a geographic level, but some contributing factors are certainly affordability, accessibility, and then the stigma attached to mental health disorders, which could negatively affect seeking treatment.
When we think of this large percentage of kids who are not getting treatment, how does that go on to affect their lives? And what's the long-range outlook for these young people who aren't being treated for these problems?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when these mental health disorders are going untreated, that could just lead to a worsening of these conditions, a development and worsening of other health conditions. And when that happens, especially in childhood, that can impede healthful growth and transition into and throughout adulthood, leading to unhealthy adults that could otherwise be prevented or at least lessened to some extent with adequate treatment.
So they're falling down right out of the starting gate.
That's a good way to put it.
And you also found that in many countries, there's been more interest in trying to address mental health issues with social policy and to treat mental health as a public health concern. How do you hope that this study would inform the way we approach mental health and treatment here in the U.S.?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of policies, federal policies, but then there's also a lot of differences in state-level policies. Some states are obviously performing a little bit better, and I think we can maybe adopt some of those initiatives and some of those policies in the states that aren't performing as well. But I think the take-home message here is that there is still room for improvement in all states.
So how does Michigan stand first in terms of how many young people have at least one mental health disorder? How do we compare?
So the national average, what we found in this study, was about 16.5%. And for the state of Michigan, it was about 17.6%, which is similar.
Yeah.
When we look at the estimated numbers, that's a little over 100,000 children in Michigan, children and adolescents that have depression, anxiety, and or ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the national average is about 50% for children with a mental health disorder not getting treatment. In Michigan, it's slightly lower to about 40.5%,
okay,
which comes out to about 40 to 42,000 children not receiving treatment for this. So it's better, but there's certainly still room for improvement.
When you talk about some 42,000 that are slipping through that net of treatment, how can parents be sure that they are doing what is best for the mental health of their children and in seeking treatment if they suspect a problem?
You know, just learning more about mental health disorders, not only for your children, but for yourself. There's a lot of really great resources available. One of them is mentalhealthamerica.net. And then the other is SAMHSA.gov. And that's SAMHSA.gov. And that stands for Substance Abuse and Health Mental Health Services Administration. These are very user-friendly. You don't need a medical degree to navigate these, and they just provide a lot of information as well as up-to-date literature on these topics. And then one final thing is that I would suggest is that don't just have a conversation with your child. Establish an open line, a continuous open line of communication talking about these mental health disorders, and these things can really go a long way.
Now, so you've gathered all this data. It's been published. The JAMA Pediatrics Journal has published it. The world can see this. What do you hope will be done with your work?
So I think the take-home message that applies to everybody, not just children and adolescents and not just family members, but everybody, is that we need to start reducing the stigma tied to mental health disorders. And we can do that by practicing and learning how to communicate about mental health disorders.
What is at stake, in your view, with the questions you raise in your study?
Just unhealthful growth. We already have a pretty substantial disease burden. Mental health disorders are one of the leading contributors to the overall disease burden, and it really leads to a personal, patient, and caregiver-level burden as well. So if we can prevent these mental health disorders from occurring or worsening, that could certainly make a huge difference in the overall burden of disease for this nation as well as globally.
From this, what's the next question you want to dive into in research?
Well, as a researcher, the focus of my research is centered around healthful aging with a disability. So what I'm interested in is looking then at these treatment disparities for individuals with pediatric onset disabilities. Is this treatment disparities worse for these individuals?
And when you lay out statistics like you have found and show us that we have, as you say, probably in Michigan, over 40,000 young people that are not being treated, who need treatment, what do you hope policymakers, the decision makers in Lansing might take away from what you found?
Yeah, just finding a way to tackle these barriers about affordability, accessibility, preventive services, recovery services, perhaps bringing these services into the school to really start capturing these children that are, you know, going untreated. That would really be beneficial.
Daniel Whitney of the University of Michigan Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation is the lead author of a study finding 1 in 7 children in this country has at least one mental health condition and at least half don't get treated. Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.